Hello, my name is Cherie, and you are about to enjoy the teaching ministry of Pastor Marty Joplin from First Baptist Church, Kirksville, Missouri. Pastor Joplin's desire is to take the Word of God to as many as possible by all means possible. Now, you might want to get a pen and note paper and get ready to dig into God's life-changing Word with us.
As he was courageous and not counting on his accomplishments, but counting only on Christ and what Christ was in him. Abraham and his willingness to lay it on the altar and surrender even his only son, Isaac, who seemed to be his link to the future, his legacy. He put that on the altar. And then Stephen, who went to the end in greatness, and in doing so, won a crown that can only be won in this exceptional way. Then we looked at Nehemiah, the man who stood in the gap when no one else would, the man who took them into a building program when everyone else would have turned and run. And Joshua. Joshua, of course, we watched him as he accomplished such great things. And Moses. Today, we look at Elijah. We cannot really leave the profiles and courage from the Scripture without looking at the person of Elijah. And that's who we'll look at today. Elijah is an interesting fellow, a man of deep conviction and passion most of the time. A man with great successes, in fact, I would say flaming successes, but not always. And so maybe you've found a way to identify with him in somewhat. Maybe you've had that feeling of being stuck on a spiritual roller coaster. One minute you're up, and the next minute you're hanging on for dear life. And obviously, God didn't design his children to follow in such a way of inconsistency. He didn't call us out to mediocrity. But instead, he's called us to live consistently and in excellence, and to walk by faith and walk in his strength and power. So what is the solution for consistent courage? Well, I think no one's life reveals that secret of success and confesses the weakness better than the life of Elijah. Elijah felt all alone, and at first he proclaims it like it's some kind of noble virtue, as if it's something that made him better than everybody else. And no matter what anyone else might do, boy, you could count on him. But at the end of the tidal wave, this fear comes crashing down around him. And how can such a courageous man end up running and whimpering hopelessly in a cave? Well, there are times when we forget where to find our power and purpose and where the strength comes from. In fact, there's a story about a man who was struggling with a large box on the back of his pickup truck. And as a passing neighbor came by and saw his plight, he came over to help him, and he put his shoulder to the box. And after a few minutes, his neighbor just kind of exclaimed, "What's in this box? It's so heavy." He said, I don't think we're ever going to get it on the truck." And the man said, "Get it on? I'm trying to get it off." Well, well-meaning Christians can come along and with the best of intentions hand you some of your deepest discouragements. But we can't let that separate us from fellowship, because God has called us to be involved in fellowship for a purpose. In fact, he's created us with a fellowship dependency. God puts people in our lives for a reason. And he knows that when we're alone, fear creeps in. Doubt invades. In his book entitled God's Psychiatry, Charles Allen tells the story. As World War II was drawing to a close, the Allied armies gathered a lot of hungry orphans, and they were placed into camps where they were well fed, and despite the excellent care, they slept poorly. And so they came up with a solution that actually worked really well. Even though at first they seemed nervous and afraid, what happened? And finally, a psychologist came up with the solution. He said, each child was given a piece of bread to hold after he was put to bed. And this particular piece of bread was just to be held, not to be eaten. And the piece of bread produced these wonderful results. The children went to bed knowing instinctively that they would have food the next day. That guarantee gave the children restful sleep. Now, if we can learn to draw strength in our number, in the fellowship that we bring, the morale boosting of having people alongside and linking arms in a common contest, if we learn to care for our wounded and go after the sheep that go astray, we will find a peace and we will find a faithfulness in our fellowship that so many still desperately search for today. And we find that in Elijah, especially as he began, he was a man who was courageous in devotion. Elijah was courageous in devotion. No doubt he wasn't afraid to stand on the truth of God. And I love to find people of God who are willing to stand on the truth of God and be bold with it. They're not going to back up. And he had that kind of no compromise attitude. And let me just share with you kind of as a side note. We're, as a church, I think we're going to have to take a no compromise stand too. And it may not be extremely well received, but every year we've participated in the community 4th of July service at the Bandshell. And I want to do that kind of thing every time that we can. But this year, as the primary speaker, they've selected a speaker from the Church of Latter-day Saints, which is not a Christian organization. They may use Jesus Christ in their title, but they believe he's a created being that's just a few steps further down the road than we are. They believe that instead of being the creator of all that is, as Jesus Christ is, they believe that he was created by God along the way and that we'll catch up with him eventually. And that's not who Jesus is. They also believe in redemption a different way, even though they use a lot of the same terminology. And so I just don't feel that we could even participate without looking as though we're putting a stamp of approval on that. So I'm going to look at the possibility of just opening up at the same time. They're actually going to do it on Saturday afternoon, evening, depends on what you call 6 o'clock, but on the July the 6th, and invite some of our other churches that have the same type of conviction, and instead of meeting outside at the Bandshell, just meet in here in the air conditioning. Okay, but not because of we're afraid of the heat out there, but because we want to just be honoring to what God's called us to be. And hopefully we can just be people of conviction, and when necessary, we're going to have to separate ourselves. And I wish them well. Some of the finest people I know are members of that particular religious body. And I love some of my neighbors, especially, who I know follow that way. But I want them to know Jesus Christ as Savior and trust in Him alone and trust the Word of God. And so, as an inspiration, Elijah stands with us in that kind of courage. In the beginning, he did anyway. It's kind of interesting, though. He operated with courage until he felt the results of his boastful claims. When he was saying, even if it's just me, even if it's only me, because I'm the only one. He tried to claim this exceptionalism. And here's the big idea that we run into with this. The big idea is this: isolated people can be courageous for a moment, but never for a lifetime. It's true. Isolated people can be courageous for a moment. The enthusiasm will well up, but it never lasts for a lifetime. I think we've had enough believers who talk with John Wayne courage and then deliver Don Knotts results. But haven't we all found ourselves there at times? Or even worse, we become afraid to commit. We become gripped by the fear that we might fail to deliver what faith has called us to do, and so we hide ourselves in our own little cave. Well, we go to 1 Kings chapter 18 today. And if you found that passage in your copy of God's Word, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read a rather extensive passage, but it's going to provide a great foundation for our study today. 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm going to begin at verse 20. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go on limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. That's troubling. He lays out the truth, but the people were afraid to take a stand. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. So, let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it to pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it, and I will prepare another bull, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it. And you call on the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, it is well spoken. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many. And call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon. And you think some of the Baptist services go along, huh? Right? They went from morning until noon, saying, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered, and they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them. He's getting kind of cocky here. He mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was after their custom, and with swords and lances, until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. And there still was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near me. And all the people came near him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built the altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, as great as would contain two seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill four jars with water, and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. Now notice he's already calling it a burnt offering. This is a man of great confidence and great faith here. And he said, do it a second time, and they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time, and they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. That's important. If we're going to be seeing God move greatly, we need to be sure that we are operating at his word and at his command and not trying to command God. And he says, answer me, O Lord, answer me that these people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we just invite you to do inventory on our lives. Allow us to face our fears. Give us moments alone with you when you show us your purpose and your strength, and you remind us of the calling that you have in our lives. And God, that the calling is not dependent on our talent, but your power and strength. God, teach us to wait on you, and that we would rise up then with wings of eagles, and our strength would be renewed. And God, there's some here today that is their deepest need. They just need to be strengthened again. They need to feel your power poured out in a fresh way. And so, God, we just invite you to do your work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, we come together with each of these studies, and we have a common confession that we can identify with. And our confession in this study is, if I'm to be honest with God, I would have to say at times I'm inconsistent. I don't like to admit that, but I'm less consistent than I know he's called me to be. There are times that he's called me to faithfulness and obedience that I just am afraid to step out and do. And I can remember as a teenager being especially challenged by this. We had a nice circle of Christian young people in our high school. And it was great to be able to do things together with them in sports, because you kind of knew how things were going to turn out. And I had one particular hero who was a young man named Brad Cunningham. Man, he was not like the super athlete. He wasn't like a Tim Tebow, but he was a very good athlete. And Brad was a tremendous man of God, even as a young teenager. But he was a year ahead of me in school, and he's someone that I could always look up to. And I was always happy to kind of be in his shadow as an underclassman and cheer him on to bravery and courage and to say the right things. And until one day, in the locker room, I heard Brad say a bad word. It just destroyed my image of him. And I had to do business with God at that point. I said, God, here's this guy that he holds the anchor. He is the standard of what I consider a Christian person to be, and he's not doing it anymore. God, what are you going to do about that? And I think God let me see that moment in Brad's life so that I'd realize I had become dependent on Brad being a wonderful man of God. And I was letting it allow me to be a pretty casual Christian. I would only just kind of chime in when it was convenient, but I never really stepped up to take the lead. And so God used that to kind of spur me on and say, you know what? And I think several others probably, you know, realized too that Brad can't always carry the load for everybody. And don't we kind of have that mentality built into our churches today that, oh, we have staff that's going to do that. We have a minister of this and a minister of that. And they're always going to, and they should hold a high and godly standard, but they shouldn't hold it alone. You realize we can't win the world to Christ with our professional, even part-time clergy. We're going to lose ground, and we'll eventually lose the world unless the laity, all of us, work together side by side to try to glorify God and to bring His gospel to people. I still remember a time, one of the big impacts of my life was listening to Christian music, especially as contemporary Christian music really caught on many years ago. And I'm probably 20 years old. And one of the guys that had really just rocked my world was Keith Green. Keith Green had a way of really just punching you with the truth. And he called the church to be accountable and to be right before God, to be servant-hearted, to be about exalting God and not themselves. Some people were really uncomfortable with his ministry because he was tough in his lyrics. And in his songs, album after album, just came out and called us to be the church we're supposed to be. And then I'm driving down the road and I hear a news release saying that he had died in a plane crash. And I literally had to pull my car over and weep. And I was a little bit angry and very afraid. And I asked God, what are we going to do now? Who's going to do this kind of work that Keith used to do? And God's answer to me was you and that person and that person, and in every place where his witness had planted seeds of courage and being right. I think that God caused a grain of seed to fall so that many more could sprout up. And we can get real inconsistent thinking someone else is going to handle the big times, the tough times, the scary moments, and we can start to retreat and live in our own spiritual cave. But maybe today you would analyze your spiritual journey and you would admit that either you've been more on the roller coaster ride, like Elijah is demonstrating after Mount Carmel, or you find yourself retreating to the safety of that spiritual cave or living in someone else's shadow. Now, I'm very excited about what we've seen as we've gone through these studies and profiles in Courage and the Courageous Bible Study Group. I'm very pleased that we had about 20 people or more that just stood here and said, hold me accountable. I want to take the resolution in my life. And we're going to work together to encourage each other in that. But what about when the excitement is gone? What about when you're put to the test? How will you hang on, or even better, how will you push through and excel and exceed what your greatest expectations ever were? Well, that leads us to this big question. The question is, have you ever experienced conviction on Sunday and frustration on Monday? I have. And I'm sure you have at times. But how do we find ourselves in that kind of rut? You know that feeling. I'm sure you do. On Sunday morning during an invitation, you feel the Holy Spirit speaking into your life, and you want to change so desperately. So you promise God on the altar that you'll never again fall into that sin. Or you'll treat your spouse with a certain kind of dignity in a certain way. Or you'll never again forget to share the gospel with a coworker. And you have all the motivation, conviction in the world, but you never really see any lasting change. Today we're going to piece together that missing element in the lives of many believers. And I would assure you of this, on your best day, and you're still walking close to God, we don't need more conviction or motivation. What we need is Him speaking into our lives, and we need each other. We need each other. In today's study, we're going to watch the prophet Elijah, who did amazing things for God, but also fell into the trap that we can fall into so easily today. Here it is, the connection. Elijah's devotion showed God's greatness. I mean, what? This is an epic story of fire being poured out from heaven. It's interesting because he calls everyone kind of close. You saw the children fall away as I did my little flash paper. Imagine what it was like for them. He's like, come here closer. Whoa. And it so hit with such intensity that it even evaporated all the fluid, all the water that had been poured out and was being held in that trench. Elijah's commitment to Yahweh, the one true God, against 450 prophets of Baal is inspiring. He believed in God's greatness so much that, you know, he was sure that God would come through and expose the others as prophets of an incapable God or a false God. And note that bold confession that he makes in verse 22. He says, "And I am the only remaining prophet." He not only poured out the water on his offering the altar, he taunted the prophets of Baal. Well, maybe your God just kind of stepped out. Maybe he's sleeping. You need to get a little louder. Oh, he's practically cocky at this point. And he gave thanks for something and called it a burnt offering before he'd ever seen the first flame. And he gave thanks over something that should not have be able to happen without God's intervention. And so we see this greatness that's shown through Elijah's devotion. But then we also see that Elijah's isolation reveals his weakness. And I take you to chapter 19, verse 9 now, where it says, "There he came to a cave and lodged in it." Now this is after he had kind of flaunted a little bit at the end of that great Mount Carmel thing. They had the victory where they had actually put all the prophets of Baal to the sword. And now he finds out there's a price on his head and people are coming after him. And so he takes off running. Suddenly he's filled with fear rather than courage. And it says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Now, every time God asks a question, he knows the answer already. So why does he ask a question? It's so that we'll discover the answer to his question. And so he asked him, and of course Elijah said, he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." You can almost hear his voice starting to tremble as we read those words. And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And that's what we need to do sometimes, is get alone and get away with God and let him speak to our hearts. It says, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke it into pieces of rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Same question. Obviously, he didn't get it right the first time, right? So he gives him a second chance. And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts,
for the people of Israel, and they've forsaken your covenant and thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And even I only, I am left, and they seek to take my life away. Well, after that grand presentation of the power of God, Jezebel sought to kill Elijah. And he ran from her. And in the midst of his running, in the midst of being captured by fear, he became depressed. And during this time, notice that his confession, I alone am the prophet of God, suddenly became his complaint. I'm all alone. And who is he actually complaining against? Complaining against God's people, but ultimately, isn't he complaining against God? He uses similar words now in this isolation. I alone am left. And while he saw the power of God, he still struggled and he realized that he was isolated and he didn't want to go on anymore. And maybe you felt like an outsider in Christian fellowship. Maybe you've wondered if believers would receive the real you if they knew you. And God has called us with this built-in interdependence. And the unique things that made you, the journey that brought you to where you are today, has created you to be a unique part of God's body, the bride of Christ. So you don't have to pretend to be something that you're not. Just let God rebuild you from the inside out, and that's plenty. That's all you'll need to be. And it's interesting that God built this dependency on it. We're not supposed to be Lone Ranger Christians. No one can function that way. It's thereby designed, that wonderful, unique function that you can bring, yet interdependency of believers, like the various parts of the human body, as it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God has designed you to have a need that can only be supplied by different parts of the same body. It's the first thing we see. The second thing we see, actually. We also see that Elijah's solution shows our need for each other. What was his solution? I need to find some of these other people. I need to be surrounded with faithful people who are going to encourage me to do the things I've been called on to do and to stand strong and not to feel the grip of fear. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 says, "And the Lord said to him, 'Go and return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria.'" He's got a job to do. He's still got tasks ahead of him. He's got a purpose. "And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be a prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel. And all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Now, he doesn't tell Elijah that everything's going to be okay. He doesn't tell him that he's going to suddenly put him on top of a mountain he can sing happy songs. But he says, "You know what? You have a purpose, and I'm going to provide you the power. Walk with me." And he teaches them, you know, he shows them that great display of power with the fire and the earthquakes and the majesty. That he says, "I control all those things, and yet that's not where I speak to you in the big stuff. I speak to you in the quiet moments. Come, walk with me." Elijah thought he was the only one devoted to God at that day, and yet God revealed that he is not unique in his calling. He's unique in his function and that he fills in the body, but he's not unique in his calling, and that others will stand with him and encourage him. God's solution was to get Elijah out of isolation around others who had trusted God, but also still needed each other. Now, here's the invitation. As your pastor, I can't begin to tell you how proud I am of the progress that people have started to make as we've gone through Profiles and Courage. Some of you have taken some monumental steps. But I need you to know right now that if you're isolated, you will fall into temptation. And you will lose serious ground. Here's a fact. Isolated people can be courageous for a moment, but never for a lifetime. Elijah did great things for God, but in isolation, he didn't want to go on anymore. Some of you maybe need to step back out of the limelight and out of the pressures of the function that you're doing, and you need to get some alone time with God. And that doesn't mean separate from the fellowship. It means get the quiet time back on track. Get some alone time where he speaks to your heart through reading his word and praying and listening to songs of encouragement and praise. Others find themselves in a place where they need to just get around some people that are going to encourage them to walk the right way. Maybe today the Lord's calling you out. Maybe it's for receiving salvation for the first time. You've never really stepped out in faith. You've talked about it. You've been spiritual and religious at times, but you've never really said, God, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. Today's going to be your day. And you're just going to step out and talk to one of our counselors and say, I need to know how to belong to Christ and really follow him. Maybe others need to say, you know what, I've really let the fire go out. I've isolated myself, and I need to get around people that are going to encourage me. And whether you're going to come and be a part of this church by watch care or shepherding care, or if you're going to come and be a part through full membership, but God is calling you out to be part of this body of believers, come. You're going to encourage us as much as we encourage you. Maybe someone needs to come today because you've never followed in believer's baptism. You come. Maybe you need to come today just declaring a special calling in your life to be involved in a certain kind of ministry. You come. But what a tragedy to not step out. See, we're not inviting you to come and be a Baptist. We're inviting you to be a better Christian. If that means walking alongside and being part of a Baptist church, so be it. Let's stand together and say yes to God. Whatever he says to you right now, say yes to him. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us today. If you would like more information about Pastor Joplin or about First Baptist Church, please email info@fbckvmo.org or call 660-665-6477. If you need more information about how to be a bold follower of Jesus Christ, we would love to be a resource for you. Again, that information is email info@fbckvmo.org. That's info@fbckvmo.org. Or call 660-665-6477. God bless you and have a great day in Jesus Christ.